time. It was awesome. So we started this new series, Reclaiming the Garden, since last week. And for the next couple weeks, we want to be focusing in on, since God has given us this new location and this place, and just preparing us and preparing spiritually to go out into the city and to actually make a difference and start doing what God has called us to as far as furthering his kingdom. And so that's the whole idea behind this series. So let's go to the Lord in prayer, and we'll get started. Father God, we just thank you for all that you do. Lord, we thank you for the way that you bless us. We thank you for the little ones that compete with us. We thank you, Father, that this week we get to celebrate family and friends and all the blessings. Lord, your scripture tells us again and again to rejoice, to rejoice. And we have so much to be thankful for. It is incredible. And Lord, for those that are struggling, for those that are overwhelmed in their circumstances, for those that have a hard time to see the good, Lord, I ask that you would start to put a new spirit in their heart, that you'd help them to start to overcome some of these things, to see beyond our stuff, beyond our circumstances, to be able to see the joy that you give, the joy of your salvation, the joy that you want us all to experience in the grace of your Son. So, Father God, as we dig into your word today, I ask that you would cement it into not only our minds, but I ask that you take today's message and help us to cement it into our lifestyle, into our habits, into the way that we think, that we would become people of prayer. And we give it to you in Jesus' name. Amen. So as I was putting this thing together and looking at reclaiming the garden, the reality is if we're really going to do this thing, this is a spiritual battle. This is not something that we can go out and force. This is not something that we can sit and manufacture. The truth of the matter is, I actually sat down with a pastor this week, and the truth of the matter is there are things that you can do just to grow your church. But it's not necessarily growing the kingdom. And there's a fine line, I think, sometimes. Maybe it's not that fine, actually. But there's this line that sometimes we think that just natural growth in a church means that God is moving. And I would say that some of our largest churches in America actually are not churches that glorify God. Not that I'm trying to pick a fight with them, but I would say that their doctrine is more about prosperity, more about the self and individuals, than it is about glorifying God, than it is about following Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And really, that's where it comes down to the road. The reality of what this whole thing is about is that we are his creation. We have been created for a purpose, and that purpose is to glorify him. It's not about glorifying ourselves. It's not about us having our best life now. It's not about doing all these things that would better us so that we can live the American dream and tack Christianity onto it like if it was an endorsement. And I think because of our culture, sometimes that gets really confused in our minds. Because God does want to bless us. God does want us to prosper. But it's not often the way that we think. Because it's just like we were up here praising him for the cross. And I don't know how many of you guys thought about the lyrics of that song, praising him for the cross. How crazy that really is. I mean, you're talking about a brutal death. You're talking about sending somebody to die. And we're praising God for what has happened on that. And the only way you can praise God for actually knowing what that really is by knowing what truly comes out of that. That we were redeemed, that we were saved. That God stepped in and took our penalty because we deserve to be on that cross. We're the ones that have gone our own way. We're the ones that have lived a life after our own desires. We're the ones that actually took God's glory and threw it back in his face and said, no thanks, we're going to do our own thing. And yet Christ paid that penalty for us. And so there's there's a reality to this whole thing, that there is a place that God does want to bless us, and that he does want us to experience joy and joy more completely and a life more complete. But at the same time, there is a place of carrying our own cross. There is a place of denying yourself. There is a place that takes sacrifice and realizing that it is him that draws us, and we live our life for him, not for ourselves. And in the midst of going through pain and suffering, that often there is beauty in the midst of it, because it shows us actually a better life. It builds our character. And so there's this confusing thing that goes on in the midst of it. And to be honest, that is not an easy message to sell to people. And if you want to grow a church, what you do is you have to actually sell hope. You actually have to sell a prosperity. You want to be able to have people feel like, oh man, I went to the service and I walked out and it was awesome. This is great. For at least the next 15 minutes before they get frustrated about something. And that's not what it's about. I mean, we come together and it's awesome. And one of the things I love about my family gathering is every so often, since I'm an introvert and at times it gets a little too much for me, I will withdraw, usually to the restroom and hide for a bit. But a lot of times I'll sit over in the corner and I'll just look at everybody. And it fills me with joy just watching everybody interact and have fun. And it's a perspective of being able just to sit back and be a part. I'm feeling great about the worship, but it's actually about feeling connected. Knowing that there's people here that have your back. Knowing that there's people here that want to be involved in your life and being able to be a part of that. And I think when we boil down church just to me and what I can get out of it, when we boil church down to selling our best life now, we're missing a huge chunk of what it's all about. And so if we're going to engage in reclaiming the garden is Missoula, for you that weren't here last week, because we're the garden city. Reclaiming the garden. Being able to come back and engage in this and being able to reach folks for the kingdom of God, not for the kingdom of Explore Church, but for the kingdom of God, we have to realize that it is a spiritual battle. And that's where it begins. And if you think about it, if I was to run a race, Tom's not here, so I can't pick on him. But if we were in a race, what would I do? I would train. I would physically get ready. I would start doing something. It's like, okay, if I'm going to accomplish this thing and I know it's physical, I'm going to prepare my body for it so that I can do it, right? All right, if I'm in school and the test is coming up, what am I going to do to get ready? Faint. What did you say, Tom?
Faint.
Faint. Yeah, faint. Pass out. No, you're gonna study. You're going to mentally get yourself ready, right? You're going to work on getting yourself to a place where it's like, okay, this is coming up. I want to make sure I know my information. You're going to prepare yourself, maybe get together some other people to help you do that and to quiz yourself. And so we prepare ourselves for things. So I don't know about you guys, but I'm serious about reclaiming the garden. And if we're going to reclaim the garden, this is a spiritual battle. Get myself spiritually ready. And I think there's places in the scripture that talk. I mean, disciples had this incident where they were trying to cast out a demon out of a child and they couldn't do it. And the father was getting frustrated and the crowd was getting frustrated and the disciples were like, I don't know what's going on. And Jesus shows up and he's like, hey, what? And he casts out this demon out of this child. And later on, the disciples come to him and say, hey, what's the deal? How come we couldn't do it? The scripture says, he told them that this type comes out with fasting and prayer. And sometimes people have taken that to be able to confront the certain type of demons, and it's not a formula. Honestly, believe what Jesus would say to yourself. Sometimes you can't just go into a battle and go, oh, we're going to do this. God can do all things, so I'm going to jump right into it. because we're not ready. And he uses us. I don't know why. It's the craziest thing, but he uses us. And so the reality in the midst of this is there's a place for us to actually prepare ourselves, to be ready, even Jesus did that. That's the whole idea. He gets baptized and he goes into the wilderness for 40 days. I mean, that was nothing but other than preparing himself, getting himself right before God. That was the reality that he knew he was entering into his ministry. And it was going to be a spiritual warfare. So, preparing ourselves. I hope that some of you guys are taking notes, because I know this for myself. And Sasha will testify. If she gives me one thing to do, I can do it. If she gives me two, I usually do it. If she gives me three, I'm not doing any of them. Because I can't remember what they were. So, you know, my back was hurting the other day, and Hannah was helping me out, and she gave me an exercise, and I was doing great. Then the next day she comes over and she gives me four more exercises, and I can't remember any of them now. It's like, it's a curse. I don't know what it is. So two things, that's all I can handle. Is anymore, I think it's left, right. I don't know what to do after that. So if you're taking notes, I want to encourage you in doing this, because I'm going to give you six things. I'm going to give you six things, and I'm going to commit to these two. So I got them written down, and to be honest, this is not like I'm giving you guys something to do, and I'm not going to. This is something that I have to put into my life that I'm going to start doing, and I'm going to commit to until. Tell Christmas that these are the things that I'm going to be praying about and doing. So, if on your phone or whatever, I want you to at least jot down these six things to be active in prayer about. So, chapter 6, we're going to go down to verse 40. So, missed it. There we go. Verse 44. No one can come to me. This is Jesus speaking. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws them, and I raise them up at that last day. Jesus is talking with the crowds and the Pharisees and everybody, and they're frustrated with them and all that stuff. And he makes this simple statement. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws them. We need to start praying. Spiritual prayer, that God would start moving in the hearts of people. See, if we go out and we're frustrated because, hey, I'm trying to share the gospel and nobody's actually accepting, nobody wants to listen, well, there's a spiritual battle that has to happen first. I don't fully understand it. I know God's sovereign, and I know at the same time Scripture talks about us and our ability to choose, and that we're held responsible for our choices. So I know God is sovereign and he does these things, and nobody's going to thwart his plans. It's not like we can choose something that's going to change what he's already designed, but at the same time, we're held responsible for the way that we choose and what we do. So there's this weird situation of free will and sovereignty that happens at the same time. And I know that that's not popular to believe in both, that you usually should choose one or the other so that we can put you in a camp and say that's who you are. But to me, I go through Scripture, and there is a legitimate argument for both of them. So I'm not God, but I know the Scripture is his word. And since the Scripture is his word, I look at it and say both are legit. Both happen. I can't tell you how that works, which is probably why I'm not God. But I can tell you that it's there. So somewhere or another, if we're going to reclaim the garden, God's got to start moving in the hearts of people. He's got to get them ready to want something, to be drawn towards them. I think, you know, if you think about it, Jesus talks about that it's hard for somebody who is rich to actually enter. And the disciples were dumbfounded by that, because in their philosophy was, as man, if you were righteous and you lived right, then God blessed you, and so you would be rich. So the whole prosperity doctrine It was way before Jesus even showed up on the scene. It was this idea that, man, you know, if I do what's right and I live right, then I'm a righteous person, so therefore God bless me and I'd have all this stuff. And so the rich people were blessed. And the rich people should be able to enter the kingdom of heaven. And Jesus was like, hey, listen, it's hard for those that are rich to enter the kingdom of heaven. And what he's getting at is simply this. There's a place where if I have everything, I don't need God. If I got everything, I'm not trusting on him for anything. It's usually until we get ourselves in a circumstance where we're beyond our ability, or I need a savior, or there's a problem. So how do we solve this? And we start looking for something. And to be honest, I feel like in many ways that's how God prepares our hearts. For those that don't know him, he actually gets us going through hard times, and we get to the end of ourselves that we finally stop and we go, all right, I need help. I can't do this. And to be honest, for Montanans, that takes a lot. That takes a stinking lot. So we need to be praying. We need to be praying that God would actually prepare the people around us and get their hearts ready for something. That we would start listening to what they say, to start hearing them, those places of desperation, those places that they begin to speak about needing something more than what they're getting. So that's number one. Start praying that God would prep their hearts. I'm going to go over here to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, starting in verse 1. Therefore, since through God's mercy we have this ministry, we do not lose heart. Rather, we have renounce secret and shameful ways. We do not use deception, nor do we distort the word of God. On the contrary, by setting forth the truth plainly, we commend ourselves to everyone's conscience in the sight of God. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. The God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel that displays the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For what we preach is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as his servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, let light shine out of the darkness, made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of knowledge of God's glory displayed in the faces of Christ. We need to pray that they can see things on a spiritual level. Not only that God would draw them, that they would get to a place where it's like, I need help, but that we would begin to pray for people that they would actually be able to see things spiritually. That they wouldn't put it off to a box of like, well, that's your belief, I'm good over here. Well, you know, that doesn't quite line up with science as far as, you know, I see science, which is a really weird thing because we call science stuff that isn't science anymore. The things that cannot be proved, we go, well, that's science. And it's like, well, nobody was there. It can't be proved. It hasn't been proved. It's, you know, it's theory. But it's amazing because it gives us a great excuse to be able to put the spiritual over onto a box and say, I don't have to deal with that. And I think that's where a lot of people are at, because if we have to deal with something that's spiritual, then there is a spiritual realm out there that we know about, and that's darn right scary. And if you're going to scare me, I don't want to have anything to do with that. I want to, you think about it, we all want to have control over our lives. And so if you introduce something to me that is beyond my control or beyond my knowledge that is real and yet I have ignored it, that is a scary, scary place to be. And so the reality is we need to pray that God would start to open up their hearts spiritually, that the devil and his demons and his dominions around us, and they are here, they are alive, and they are active. They are blinding the minds of the people around us. And they get bombarded by it all the time. You talked about the parable of throwing out the seed, you know, on the soils. And the first seed that he throws out, it says some falls on the path, and the path is hard, and it doesn't last because the birds come down and eat it right away. And he was talking about those birds are the demons. That's the devil. He comes and he takes the seed away before it can even sprout or get root or anything happens to it. And so here it is again that Paul is bringing up the same fact. This is where people are at. Well, that doesn't make any sense at all. It's like, how can you not see this? Santa, we live in Missoula. You love creation and the beauty around it, and you celebrate it on a daily basis. And when I talk about a creator, you can't accept it. We have to pray. We have to begin to realize this is a spiritual battle. So not only does God have to start to draw their hearts, we also have to pray that there would be these harvest. I tell you, open your eyes and look at the fields. They are. So Jesus is telling them this to his disciples. They're totally confused. And he says, hey, as the crowds are coming out, they're realizing there are people that want to be entered into the kingdom of heaven. That's to my shame. And I think going to a foreign country and seeing this fruit that's out on the branches and go, no, that's an orange. And I know when an orange is ripe. Let's pluck that thing and eat it. Make sense? Anyways, that's my confession. Spiritual need that the harvest is ready. Number four. Looking at Acts here. Acts chapter 4. This is kind of a crazy, this is a little longer, but this is kind of a crazy thing here. To their own people, and reported all that the chief priest and the elders had said to them. Raise their voices together in prayer to God. Sovereign Lord, listen. Sovereign Lord, they said, you made the heavens and the earth and the sea and everything in them. Why do the nations rage? Why do the people plot in vain? The kings of the earth band together against the Lord and against his anointed one. Met together with the Gentiles and the people of Israel in the city to conspire against whom you anointed. They did what your power and will had decided before. Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your to speak your words with great boldness. Isn't that crazy? Verse 29, now think about what they just said. Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak. They don't ask for a hedge of protection. They don't say, hey, God, turn. Hey, listen, they're getting really angry. So help us be bold. They don't like us. So help us be stronger. Shut up. So help us speak up. We live in a society that no longer wants the church to speak up and speaks out too much on morality and not Jesus. We need to realize morality comes through Jesus. Morality without Jesus doesn't place. But it has no eternal hope. So we need to get to a place where it's about Jesus, where the gospel is clear. Boy, we need to be bold. Goes on, verse 30. Stretch out your hands to heal and perform signs and wonders in the name of your holy servant Jesus. After they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken. That is a prayer. Isn't it? Together with a bunch of folks and be praying about something. Ooh, look at that light show. And be praying about something. And in the midst of praying about it, the place is shaking. I mean, it's kind of like the light's going out while you're talking. So there. So the whole idea of this the reality of this coming together, that they plot against you, but you're God. And not only do they plot against you, they conspire against your Holy One. And carried out what you already determined. Think about that logic. They were against you, and since they were against you, it actually fulfilled what you wanted to fulfill. You ever think that the struggles that we have in sharing the gospel here in Missoula is actually got part of God's plan? Struggles about being able to get a church and establish a church, maybe God's in the midst of that and we don't fully grasp how and what he's doing, but he's doing something. I mean, sometimes we get it so fixed in our head, this is the way it has to happen. God is still sovereign. Even if we look around and it's like, I don't get it because it's not working out the way I would do it. I mean, I think there's a lot of us that when we get to finally get there and go, okay, Jesus,
What were you thinking? You know, you did it this way. What? I don't get that. But it always works out to God's plan. Like I said, there's this crazy thing about God's sovereignty and yet our choice. And here's a perfect example of it. How it still works hand in hand and comes together. So this fourth one, this fourth thing, is I think that we need to begin to pray for great boldness. For great boldness. That we can rest in what God is doing and trust that He's got it. For great boldness. All right? We're going on to number five. We've got two left. Can you guys make two more? All right, okay. Do you guys remember any of them yet? See, I tell you, if I didn't write them down, I'd be forgetting myself. All right? All right, we're in Acts chapter 10. While Peter was still thinking about the vision, the Spirit said to him, Simon, three men are looking for you, so get up and go downstairs. Do not hesitate to go with them, for I have sent them. Now, some of you may not be familiar with this, but what happened with Peter is he was in prayer and he was meditating and he was thinking, yes, meditation was in the scriptures. It's not just Middle East and things. To meditate is actually to think about the goodness of who God is and to be in the midst of that. If you have never sat and just gone, think about the glory of God, I challenge you to do that. It is a spiritual meditation and it is a great thing. The more you think about the glory of God and who He is and what He's done for you, man, it'll fill your heart. And in the midst of that, it is awesome. And do not be afraid of that. And so here it is. Peter is meditating and he's in prayer and he's thinking about these things and he has this crazy vision where God lets down this blanket full of animals, all sorts of animals. He says, rise, kill, eat. The verse that every hunter loves. Rise, kill, eat. You know, and Peter's like, wait a minute, those are unclean. Obviously, there was like bacon there. Didn't realize it. Those are unclean. I can't touch that. I've never touched that. And this thing happens three times. So that's the end of the vision. And then the Spirit speaks to him and says, hey, listen, Simon, three men, Gentiles, the unclean. Three men are looking for you. Do not hesitate. Go with them. And so he goes down, and this is an awesome story because this is where the family of Cornelius actually accepts Christ. And it's one of the first signs where all the Gentiles come in and they believe, and not only are believed, they're filled with the Holy Spirit to prove that God accepts them too. And it's an incredible turn. This is actually where the gospel message goes beyond the Gentile or beyond the Jews to the Gentiles. This is our heritage. This is where we go, God loves us too. And it is an awesome thing. So we need to begin to pray that we would hear from the Spirit. That we'd hear from the Spirit. Because Peter only went with them because he listened to the Spirit and said, all right, I'll be obedient. Man, I cannot tell you guys, I don't know why I don't do this more often. There's so many times where you go like on a prayer walk and it's like, okay, God, what are you doing in this place? And you're praying for people, you're praying for houses, or you're praying for people that are walking down the street and you're just giving it over to God. And when you just actually stop and listen, it's crazy. It's crazy how many times something will pop in your head. It's like, I want you to go down that street, or I want you to talk to this person, or I want you to do da da da. And it's like, well, that's kind of weird, but okay. And you follow through with it, and all of a sudden something happens, and there's a spiritual conversation, or you run into somebody you weren't expecting. Or it's just, can I say supernatural? I mean, it's nuts. It's weird. It'll give you the creeps if you think about it. It's like, holy smokes. And it is one of the coolest things ever. If it does not build your faith and get you to a place where it's like, my God is not only alive and real, He is active and a part of my life. And He cares about the little things. And sometimes it's the craziest little things that He asks you to do that open up doors that you never thought were even were there. And you know what makes me ashamed? I don't do it more often. Because you experience it and go, man, that's just sweet. And then there's something about us and our sinful nature where the next day I'd much rather sit and watch TV. Yeah, that's stupid. That's me. You guys don't have that problem. So here it is. So pray that the Spirit would speak to you. Not only that we would see the ripe, that we believe that people want to accept, that we would see the opportunities for this harvest, that we would be filled with boldness, but that God would actually drive us because he's doing things. So that he would show us the people that he's already prepped, the people that are already there that want something, so that we can step into that and be able to go, I'm here. God brought me here. Let me talk to you. Number 6. You guys are doing awesome. Colossians chapter 4. Colossians chapter 4, starting in verse 2. Devote yourself to prayer. That's what this whole message is about. Devote yourself to prayer, being watchful and thankful. And pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message, so that we may proclaim the mystery of God, for which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should. Be wise in the way that you act towards outsiders, making the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. It is some awesome verses about what we're trying to accomplish. To be able to devote yourself to prayer, to be able to come to a place where you're not only praying that God would move in us, but be praying for the church. That's their last one right there, verse 6. That you'd be praying for the church. That you'd be praying for me. That you'd be praying for your brothers and sisters sitting next to you. My mom is here. My mom is one of the greatest prayer warriors that I know. She has prayed for me all my life. I know that she prays for you guys by name every week. She is an awesome woman of God. And you guys see her and she comes in. I'm sorry, Mom. And she comes in and she's quiet. And she may not be swinging a hammer. She may not be doing much. But she does so much for this church. I know I'm where I'm at, partly because of her prayers. And because of the prayers of others. We need each other. See, we each have the Holy Spirit. The Spirit is what connects us to God. But I don't think sometimes that we realize that same Spirit, there's one Spirit, one God, one family, one baptism. That same Spirit is the same Spirit that my mom has. And so what's really cool about that is that when I'm grieving, the Spirit can speak to my mom and say, you need to be praying for your son right now. I mean, how many of us have had that where we were going along and it's like, ooh, I need to pray for Tom. Ooh, I need to pray for whatever. And it, all of a sudden it's like, and that's listening to the Spirit because that's that one inside of us. And the reality is we need to step in the gap for each other because we're not always strong. And we need to help each other in the midst of that and pray for each other. Paul, we look at Paul and go, man, he's like the superstar. He's like the church planter of all times. That's the way we look at him because he's the one that's written up in Scripture. And he's the one saying, pray for me. And I may proclaim it clearly and boldly as I should. See, even Paul realized, I can't do this without the help of my brothers and sisters in Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit. We have to pray for each other. Pray for one another and keep each other accountable and love one another. That's the 6. So here's my challenge. My challenge is this. I am going to challenge myself, and you are more than welcome to join me in this. But I'm going to challenge for the now until Christmas Day, till the 25th, I'm going to pray on a constant basis every day these 6 things. So often when we pray, our prayers are very much based upon, God, I need. I get that. It happens. It's easy. This is a little different. To take these six principles and go, I want to pray through these six principles every day, now until Christmas, until his birth, the day that we celebrate his birth anyways. And in the midst of that, if you want to go a little bit farther, I challenge you once a week to pick one of the neighborhoods around this Rose Park Center, start working our way out, and just walk down a neighborhood, walk the university, and just start praying for the people, praying for the houses, praying that the gospel would be out there. Start praying for that God would start moving, that we would be able to reclaim the garden. Amen? Let's pray now. Father God, we are your children, your sons and daughters. And you have not left us as orphans. You have given us the Spirit, and you have empowered us, and you have given us everything that we need to live a godly life. And so, Lord, we come before you right now. We ask for your mercy. We ask for your protection. We ask for your strength. Father God, you have given us the Spirit, and so inside the Spirit, I ask that you would allow us to produce this fruit, the fruit that would give you more glory and more honor, the fruit that you are excited about the seeing in us. And so I ask that you would help us in that fruit to have this part of self-discipline, to actually be diligent in our spiritual walk. Not only to be able to read Scripture and to understand Scripture, but Father, to actually grow closer to you and closer to one another and closer to our community through the power of prayer. Lord, you do some incredible things in a spiritual realm that we don't quite grasp, but we know that our spirit is connected to each other. And so, Lord, help us. Help us to be able to encourage each other through the Spirit. Help us to be able to hear the Spirit and listen to it in a way that we would respond to the small, still voice inside of us. That we would be willing to risk looking like fools, that we would be bold in presenting your gospel, that we would live a life of curiosity, that we would be people that would earn trust with one another, that people would ask us for the reason for our hope. Help us to live in a way, Father, that you would empower us, that this would not just be a shell that we go to church and we put on the good life, but Father, that this is real. That this changes who we are and how we think and how we act. And Father, that we are motivated by what it is that you want out of our life and not by our own selfish desires. Father God, not only are we your children, we are your disciples and we are your servants, we are your slaves. So Lord, command and we will go. Speak and we will listen. Give us the direction so we can go boldly, present clearly. Father God, we want to see your kingdom grow. We want to see your glory proclaimed. We want you honored above all things. So Father God, we lay it at your feet and we know that we can come into your throne room boldly because of what your Son has done for us. So we know this and we proclaim it in our own life that we have been set free by the blood of Jesus. And we claim that in our life. And we no longer live in the shame of our past. We no longer allow the doubts to control us, that we are unworthy. But Father, you have given this incredible message, this incredible glory, and these jars of broken clay, that it would shine through, that others would be touched and seen and drawn. So Lord, we give it all to you in Jesus' name. Amen.